Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
I am far more concerned than what's happening at the editorial page by what's happening in news pages.
Molly Hemingway speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
In news pages, that old idea that we had for a few decades of aiming toward objectivity has just been completely thrown out the window.
And this is a generalization, but I think it bears out. And again, I mean, even 5-10 years ago, it would have sounded crazy that I'd be saying this, but I mean, I think it is the case. You have to view the explicit goal of most of the major journalistic institutions in this country as electing Democrats. And when they aren't electing Democrats, they're trying to push the Democratic Party further left.
You can watch and listen to a recording of journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway's Q&A from our 2020 Making the Case conference. It's available in both video and audio formats for a tax-deductible contribution of $250. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
We're going to be addressed the original sin of this country, 400 years old. It's the original sin, slavery.
The Equality Act is a nuclear bomb on faith communities and any communities or individuals who have a traditional understanding of marriage and sexuality.
If your repentance is purely horizontal, and if it's designed really to curry favor with the world, then that's a repentance that itself needs to be repented of. That is a reflection of a world-oriented, not a God-oriented mentality.
You don't get any more close to the heart of the matter than fathers, mothers, and their children living together in a household. And wherever his word is, there the blessing will be also.
Taiwan de Xinjiao Shi and Ai Ting Issues, etc. That Taiwan missionaries love Issues, etc.
I don't know who at Netflix thought this would be a good idea. A film that features preteen girls dancing suggestively as a major plot point. And Netflix decided to promote this film sometime back. It came out initially as a poster that almost immediately got a rather visceral reaction from parents, from people, from your average Joe. What in the world were they thinking? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the Netflix film Cuties. Jeremy Stevens, author of a column for The Federalist titled No Cuties is Not a Sophisticated Artistic Critique of Child Pornography, will spend some time teaching a Sunday school lesson, God's Covenant with Abraham. In Genesis chapters 15 and 17, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, will be our guest. Pastor Bill Swarla joins us after that. We'll discuss saving faith, and then we'll go through listener email in the last half hour or so on this Tuesday afternoon. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Joining us to discuss the Netflix film Cuties, Jeremy Stevens. He's a soon-to-be PhD who wrote his dissertation at Columbia University on secularization and British poetry. He's author of a column for The Federalist titled No, Cuties is Not a Sophisticated Artistic Critique of Child Pornography. Jeremy, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
For those who may be unfamiliar with Netflix's Cuties film, describe it for us.
All right. So according to those who have seen it, I haven't. We'll discuss why a little bit later. But Cuties is a film that focuses on a preteen African immigrant to France and discusses her difficulties being torn between a more traditional culture while adapting to life in contemporary secular France. And apparently she tries to find herself by joining a group of other young girls who have a twerking dance group, and together they experiment in and explore the sexualization of contemporary French culture and, I would say, Western culture in general. So that's kind of this from a thousand yards up.
What kind of reaction did Netflix receive after promoting the film?
So a few weeks ago, Netflix released a shocking poster that had the main stars of the film in skimpy outfits, and it appeared to be accompanied by the description of the film pornographic in nature, and Netflix quickly hedged against that, and they claimed that the problem was really just with the market. The film itself was fine. They just messed up marketing it. That controversy then died down. But upon the film's release this past week, it flared up again because what was depicted in the movie was at least as bad as that poster, and it was arguably worse. And so still from the movie confirmed that it wasn't just that one poster that was shocking. You had viewers who noted that, among other things, there are close-ups of these girls as they dance that are highly inappropriate, and one of the preteen girls actually bears the death.
What are others saying in defense of the film?
So the most plausible defense in general that I've seen, and this is represented by Alyssa Rosenberg, who is writing in the Washington Post, if your listeners want to look this up for themselves, is that, yes, the imagery is at times inappropriate and disturbing, but all of this is in service of critiquing the sexualization of children. The argument is that, at first glance, this looks highly problematic and wrong, but the ultimate purpose of the movie is to say that sexualizing these girls and any girls, any children, is wrong and destructive, so therefore the movie is actually a good thing.
How do you respond to the claim that this is art, and art quite often will depict things that are provoking, that are downright evil?
Yeah, well, I think that question really misses the point in this case. I have no opinion, because I haven't seen it, on whether the film itself as a film is pornographic or artistic. I suspect it's pornography, but again, I haven't seen it. My point is that Cuties is different from a standard, what we would normally call an artwork, in which immoral and indecent actions are just represented. The people behind this film made it in such a way that the young girls that appear on screen actually did perform these sexually suggestive gestures for a viewing audience, and we know that fact simply from still shots of the film and the description of actions within the movie by people who have seen it. So these girls were told to perform those actions. They also engaged in conversations that are entirely inappropriate for their age. And now those actions are being shown for the viewing pleasure of whoever happens to press play on Netflix. So this isn't about art or interpretation. It's about exploitation and sexualization, no matter what the film's message is. And so this is why, and we may get into this later, this is part of why I don't think you have to see the movie to think that it's an outrage. Art, the question of art, message, misses the point.
How does this incident demonstrate how our social norms have become derailed?
Well, obviously, it's another example in a long line of examples in just how far the norms have receded that, you know, a major company like Netflix would think that they can distribute this film and people will just kind of go along with it. But it does that in an interesting way. What's happening here is that people are defending the film, and Netflix probably thought they could put it out, because they're saying there's a complex artistic message here that is ultimately outside of any sort of moral censure because it's art, right? If it's done in the name of art, then morality can be kind of sidestepped. This case is a glaring example of that, right? But this is ridiculous. One example is, if you poach an elephant in your documentary on why elephant poaching is bad, you should still face the legal and moral consequences of poaching an elephant, right? It doesn't matter if it's for art or for a good message. There's some difficult and morally complex art that I love. I mean, I've made my own academic career off of studying it. But saying that something is art doesn't shield us from us asking moral questions about it. And the people who say, well, this is art, it's complex, are trying to say that if you call it art, you can't really insist on these moral distinctions and reach an ultimate moral judgment. I think that's very wrong, and in this case, it's colluding with that sort of sexualization of children and eroding norms more generally.
Where did this idea that the disgusting and the immoral can have aesthetic merit come from?
Well, I really don't know that it has one specific beginning. In a certain sense, that's a question about the consequences of the biblical fall. But for our own historical moment, the 19th century French have a lot of responsibility. I go into this in my article a bit more, but the poetry of Charles Baudelaire is often seen as foundational and representative, and then his successors carried on that sort of work in a loose artistic style that the British, many of whom were highly suspicious of this, called decadence. The general idea with decadence was that you could detach art from morality so thoroughly that art was so autonomous from the real world and moral considerations that you could even revel in immorality and ugliness and darkness as having its own pleasure, and that this was artistically permissible. But this is very much mainstream now. It's not just French. You can find this throughout all sorts of Western art and various media. And I should also mention that there are some many good and morally responsible artists who have been conversant with and influenced by this tradition, even though they don't go to the extreme.
So it sounds like, in response to the argument that some are making, that this is merely a representation of evil. You're saying this isn't merely a representation of evil. It may not even be a representation of evil. It is, in fact, the evil itself.
That's exactly right. So there's a fundamental sort of reality to what we do with our bodies and the actions we perform, right? There's a theatrical production of the Hamlet where there are murders that are committed. Those murders don't happen in fact. But what I'm saying is with this film, these girls actually are performing these sexually suggestive gestures that can be interpreted, if you want to use that word, although it's a bit of a category mistake here, that they can be described in no other way as essentially sexually suggestive. And my point is that no child could possibly consent to this, and it's inappropriate to ask them to do this. And that's just the fact of how the movie was made, and you can't get around it by saying it's art.
Do we need to recognize that there is a larger context to this film, namely a small but very vocal activist movement that want to sexualize children, even to the point of taking legal steps to do so?
Yes, I think that activist movement obviously does exist, and they pop up in the news from time to time. I'm hesitant to directly connect this film to that movement. I guess, you know, that would be an interesting sort of retrospective that a journalist should probably do to see what sort of connections there might be. But you don't need a conspiracy or any sort of direct connections to know that the entertainment industry in America and elsewhere has had a problem with sexualizing and exploiting children for some time, and that this has had a negative impact.
Others argue that if you haven't seen the film, you have no right to condemn it. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would just say that that assumes that in order to condemn the film, you have to interpret it. And like I said, interpretation is something that you do for art. What I'm saying is, no matter how you interpret it, and I concede that it's possible that the message of this film as artwork does condemn the sexualization of children, even if that's the case, it condemns itself. Because the point here is not about viewing this as a holistic work of art in which certain elements modify other elements to give you a more productive sort of conclusion. This is about what happens in the real world, what we do with our body. Specifically here, you know, what young children have been asked to do for ultimately the entertainment of an adult audience. And that's highly inappropriate. There's no context or nothing that you could do in the name of art that would justify what went into the making of this film.
Finally, how do you answer someone who says, well, at least the film has raised awareness of the sexualization of children and the problem that it is?
Well, that might be the case practically, but that's not an excuse for the film. I think many people are at least generally aware of the dangers posed to children nowadays, and this film is not so much a critique of that culture as much as it is yet another example of the dangers that children face. The fact that there has even been a debate around whether this film is acceptable shows how far our norms have eroded, and in such an environment, sexualizing children in the manner that the film obviously does is bound to cause real harm. No one is directly helped by it, but at the very least, the young actors in it have been directly harmed. And in any case, art and its ambiguity is not the best vehicle for what should be clear-cut moral messages if your primary goal really is to advance the message that the sexualization of children is wrong. And beyond that, if you do care about the sexualization of children, there are nonprofits that could really use your attention and time and money.
Are you concerned that all of this has the aggregate effect of kind of moving that Overton window in the mind of the general public to things that maybe years ago would have been considered unthinkable, that Cuties has that kind of effect?
I would say that practically, yes. That's a very real concern. And I don't think that's at all engaging in conspiracies or anything. At the same time, you know, in the wake of this film, there have been people who, as a supposed defense of it, have pointed out that there have been things in our culture for decades that have done similar things to children. So this is not an unprecedented threat. The way in which it I think, threatens children nowadays has changed a little bit. But just because something is an old and recurring threat doesn't mean that it's not a threat, right? And this is definitely a concerning sign that at a moment when so many people claim to be interested in justice and protecting the marginalized, that this sort of thing can just be defended so easily by the powerful and the people who really, really you would hope would know better if our society and our culture were as healthy as it could be.
Jeremy Stevens is a soon-to-be PhD who wrote his dissertation at Columbia University on secularization and British poetry. He's author of a column for The Federalist titled, No, Cuties is Not a Sophisticated Artistic Critique of Child Pornography. Read it for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Jeremy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio program called Law and Gospel. We'll be in Genesis chapter 15 and 17, talking about God's covenant with Abraham. Stay tuned.
The irony, though, is that if they succeed, if they actually do tear this country down, dismantle it as they want to, then the luxury and freedom and comfort that they take for granted really will disappear. And they will finally get the authentic version of the oppression that they so desperately want.
Matt Walsh speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Unless we as the rational, we as the moral, we who understand objective truth, objective morality, unless we stand in the way for their sake and for our own.
You can watch and listen to Matt Walsh's presentation, Making the Case Against Woke Culture, with a recording of the 2020 Making the Case Conference. We'll send you links to download a podcast and watch a video stream for a tax-deductible contribution of $250. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.